Okay, we're going to call the Great River Regional Library Board to order. I'm the fourth in line, so.
Thank you.
Do you need a tiara? Yeah.
What?
Do you need a crown?
Yeah, right. You've been reading something that you shouldn't be reading, evidently. So we'll adopt or amend the agenda, and Karen's got a few things.
So on the table, there is amended 2024 RLBSS application. I would like to add that at 12.4 other. Amend the closed session to right before 7 so that we can call our labor attorney in a timely manner. And then amend the Ehlers presentation, which is 12.1, right after the closed session. And then earlier at the Finance Committee, we talked about remote attendance, so adding that at 12.5, which would be after the amended RLBSS application. And that's all.
What was the last one, Karen?
The remote attendance will make
12.5. 12.5.
Because we put RLBSS at 12.4.
Looking for a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second it.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Approval of the minutes from May 20th, 2025.
Motion we approve.
Motion to approve by Greg.
I'll second.
Seconded by Al. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Public open forum. We have one person signed up. Alex Keaton? Kelton?
Hello, everybody.
Oh, you'll need to do it at the mic, please. I think it's on. And then I'll tell you.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Hello, board members. Hello, members of administration. Today I am speaking to you representing our library workers union of AFSCME Local 1345. We are here to present a petition for our upcoming negotiations. We have 41 signatures. Can I present that to you now? A summary of the petition is just that we urge our administration and our board to engage in a fair and equitable and comparable contract negotiations. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. 5.1, the bills and addendums, they were on the table. We do 5.1, 5.2, and 5.3 all together. So we'll do 5.1, 5.2, 5.3 on one motion.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Tina makes the motion, and
Greg
seconded it. Any discussion or anyone need anything from Amy? Nope. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Number 6, consent agenda. It's an action item.
Yeah, you can do them all as a slate.
You want to do them all at once?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to approve.
The board meeting schedule we should talk about separately.
Pardon?
Sorry, the 6.3 we should talk about a little bit before you do that.
Okay.
You can do the other two.
So we'll do 6.1 and 6.2.
I'll move that.
Second. Tina?
I'll second it.
Tina and Greg? Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Carried. Okay, 6.3, the preliminary board meeting schedule. It's on page 27.
And Patty, you might have to help me. So this is set up based on what the bylaws say, which is the third Tuesday of every month. Zuria looked it over, and I believe Ramadan?
Yeah,
falls in about the same time as February, March. But that's not officially set until we get closer to that or something like that. But
Brandy thinks it is, or yeah, quite as certain.
Yeah, so we might want to move. If we move the February date, we're probably going to want to move the March date, or they're going to get really close or really far apart.
Okay.
I'm not sure. We can do whatever, but just wanted to draw attention to the fact that there might be a conflict with those dates.
How far ahead do we have to?
We will look at this again in January, but it would be best to get it set so we can reserve meeting rooms.
I know sometimes the February one coincides with AMC's Legis conference, too. So, you know, depending on when they set that.
Yeah, we can move it in January if you want to set it for the third Tuesday now and revisit, or we could just move it a week up or a week back if you have an idea of when that date is.
Okay, so there's no, we don't need to take action, so it's just more or less for informational.
What do you want to do
there, Connie? Do you want action on it?
Or do you want action on it?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do we have any idea from a sunset, like when, what week or time would be better for her?
I don't know.
Okay.
Depend on when the date is set.
Yeah.
It's not.
I can hear you.
It'll depend on when the date is set.
Right, but we can look and see when sunset is supposed to be.
Maybe move the meeting time or something.
There's a window, but I think she's the one that can help us.
Yeah.
We don't want to. Yes. I personally feel a little uncomfortable doing something that we don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to table till the next meeting?
Yeah. It's not an action item.
Oh.
So. Maybe just.
That's fine.
Yep. Just be aware of it.
Yeah.
More or less.
And
okay.
Maybe check calendars so that we can get things set up next meeting.
We'll leave it up to a couple of our people, commissioners, to check AMC stuff.
We'll do it.
Yes.
Nothing under others?
No.
Okay.
We just need to do the closed session checklist now.
I believe Ed has it.
Yep. Do you have it?
Ed has it.
Okay.
Yep. So we want to do closed session now. Maybe we're going to go into closed session. The purpose for closed meeting for employees' performance reviews of executive director. Oh, labor negotiation. So we're going, closed session will be for labor negotiation strategy, I take it? Okay. So we need a motion and a second to close the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Terrell and seconded by Tina to close the meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Good evening, commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Ryan Miles, the managing director for Ehlers Investments. We're a locally owned and operated investment management company. We have an office in the Twin Cities, an office in Wisconsin as well. And tonight, just talking a little bit, give you a brief overview about the investment services that Ehlers provides, and then how we might be able to partner with you all in helping manage the investments for the library district here as well. So, a little background about Ehlers Investments. Our Ehlers team is comprised of investment managers as well as municipal advisors, and that's all that we do is working in the public sector. So we have over 80 advisors on staff in Minnesota and Wisconsin. The investment team comprises of 12 of the 80, and we all office out of our Minneapolis office in the Twin Cities. Again, 100% employee-owned, locally operated here, and we are a registered municipal advisor and a registered investment advisor. And what a registered investment advisor really is carrying that fiduciary responsibility to manage investments with the utmost loyalty and care to our clients, as well as that duty of loyalty and care and making sure that we can create a reliable and safe investment strategy that provides a measurable rate of return. So this is just a little bit about our investment team. We have over 600 separately managed accounts. We manage over $3.3 billion in assets now since we last updated the slide, and it's solely with public entities. So we don't do retirement planning or anything like that. It's solely focused in the public sector. A little background about our team here and the various roles that everybody serves in. And then I mentioned a little bit about what is a registered investment advisor. So this, we do not carry inventory where we have specific investments that we sell. We're really the money manager trying to go out and manage the portfolio to the state statutes, your investment policy, and then making sure that we can abide by that and then go ahead and go out and execute on those that strategy and provide that measurable rate of return. We really view ourselves as an extension of the finance team and the finance office. So beyond just picking investments, we provide, as part of our overall comprehensive level of service, is cash flow forecasting and planning, making sure that the investment strategy matches the overall cash flow needs of the libraries, as well as helping update investment policies and procedures and things like that. A little bit more background about our investment team. Again, it's a fully integrated team where we can provide a really deep level of service and a deep bench when we go out and look into the investment marketplace. One of the reasons why we were speaking with Gray River Regional Library was just the understanding what you're currently doing and how we could possibly augment that or add greater value. So right now you're invested with the Magic Fund and some of the term series that the Magic Fund provides. That provides a very limited scope of what you're allowed to do within state statute. And so as an independent investment advisor, we can go out and the whole breadth and depth of the investment universe within state statute and policy to allow you to invest in additional investment vehicles beyond a bank CD. So a couple examples might be a municipal bond where you could purchase a highly rated municipal bond even in Minnesota, so even investing locally again. But those highly rated municipal bonds, according to state statute, definitely provide a higher level of rate of return than a typical bank CD that you might find, as an example. And so there are additional investment strategies that we could employ that, again, are safe, that are within state statute, abiding by your policies, and that can provide that higher rate of return that we think that we can provide for you as well. All within making sure that everything is compliant. So touched on that here briefly too. Part of our service is really to provide a higher level of reporting and analysis of what's going on with the portfolio. So that's part of our service too, to be available to answer questions, how the portfolio is performing, and give you a sense of what's going on in the marketplace too and why we're making the decisions that we would be making or the recommendations that we're making on these different investment vehicles as well. And again, we're just a really fully integrated level of service that we work with municipalities on a variety of functions, including, you know, debt issuance, bonding for a lot of our cities and counties that we work with. And we just make up a smaller piece of that investment, of the overall investment team with Ellers as well. So really our goal is to collaborate with you, be on the same side of the table, understand what the goals and needs are, and make sure that the investments that we select are done safely, prudently, making sure that the cash flow is kept intact, that you can still fund the operation along the way, but then going out into the marketplace, allowing you to buy some additional investment vehicles that can provide a larger rate of return would be our goal and our strategy for you all as well. So with that, I guess I would just wanted to open it up to any questions that you might have about Ellers or strategies or anything else.
Questions? Do you work with counties too?
We do. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So right now we work with Commissioner Dietrich in Wright County as an example. I believe that they've been satisfied with what we've been doing and have had a good experience. And Ellers is a larger company has worked with, I believe, the majority of all the counties here in various form and faction in various capacities as well. So,
you work with very many libraries then?
What's that?
Have you worked with libraries in particular?
Yes. Yeah, so we actually, right now we do not have a library district in Minnesota that we work with, but we manage about $150 million of library districts in Illinois. They're actually a little bit, it's a larger carve-out in Illinois for library districts. So very familiar with the strategies, understand cash flow needs and kind of the cyclical nature of funding and how that works as well. So it's definitely part of our process. Yep.
I'm going to ask it out loud. What is your fees? What is the...
Yeah, so the fees that we is based on the assets that we manage, and part of the strategy I believe that was brought to the Finance Committee is not moving funds all at one time because you currently have investments. So our recommendation would be as investments mature or taking a look at could we sell an investment early, take a penalty, and reinvest at a higher rate, we would then manage a portion of funds along the way. It's a step-down fee schedule starting at 0.25%, and then as the investment portfolio grows, it steps down to 0.22%, 0.20%, things like that. So on an annual average basis, it would take us a little while to ramp up as we brought on assets that we would be managing. But anywhere between about $10,000 and $15,000 is kind of what we're looking for from an investment perspective. And then that kind of depends on the portfolio as it grows, where that might land as well. So good question. Thanks.
Terrell?
So this is just kind of a typical question I ask. There's a lot of really good things. So what would or do you think magic would say, and how do you respond to that?
Yeah, magic has a proprietary fund. Obviously, they have a fund, and they have a term series, and they don't go beyond that. So we're 100% independent and say that we can find the best options within state statute that we possibly can. So magic is really limited with the fund, and it's a good fund, but you're putting all of your eggs in one basket, essentially. So there's not a lot of variation or diversity in the portfolio right. That you can.
That's what you would say. My question is, what would they say, and how do you respond to what they say?
I don't know what they would say because I'm not them, but I think they would have a hard time answering that they're not independent as far as that goes. So. They're not able to provide the full breadth and depth of investment options within the state statute. So you're more than welcome to ask them. I think that would be a fair question.
It's just something I learned that from a legislator a long time ago, and I've been asking anybody who's taken a different perspective.
Right.
So what would they say?
Yeah.
And then what's your response back to that?
Yeah.
Say, ask them the same thing.
Right.
We're hearing you now, but
it
does help kind of get to, especially because – many or most of us have utilized magic fund, and
right.
we have people who sit on the
right.
magic fund, etc. So
right.
it's a good thing to know. I was
yeah.
pretty excited when the presentation was done, so don't
yeah.
take that away.
No,
I just
absolutely.
Think it's part of the due diligence.
Right, 100%. No, it's a great question.
Yeah, we came across Ehlers when we were presenting to the counties, as we do
yeah.
at Wright County, and
yeah.
your firm was right behind us in
oh,
line.
Okay.
And
yeah.
you guys reached out right after, and we're like, that's interesting, but we have a new auditor, so let us do that first. So it's been a year.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the possibilities. Like, I don't know if you – Ed, you know, because you were chair, but the local CDs are a great idea to invest
yeah.
locally. The signatures are a nightmare, especially when we have changes in board chair. So the idea that it would be smoother – in terms of finding options and be able to capture them without having Amy going back and forth with some of these banks, like one that's expiring or just expired is the one in Sauk Center that, if you remember, it was – we could not get that signature card
right.
done. It
yeah.
just would not – I had to drive all the way to Sauk Center on a Saturday. Luckily, they're next to Walmart. It was fine, but, it shouldn't be that hard to renew
right.
or change signatures on a CD where, you go with a firm like this, it takes some of that burden off of our very small finance department who's
right.
also responsible for payroll.
Yeah.
I would reiterate that with Wright County. The staff time was just, and it was a constant because you want to have these CDs timed. This has been a godsend. It's really been that flexibility that and you know, you've been able kind of working through the last year or just yeah. with the timing on everything, but the investments have been more. It's just, I've found it to be a plus plus.
Yeah, oh, that's great to hear. I guess the proposal from Ehlers is also an at-will agreement. I mean, it's not a long-term contract. You know, if we're not performing or you're not happy with what we're proposing, the value, you're not finding the value, you know, you can cancel Ehlers investments at any time. So it's really a low risk opportunity, you know, opportunity to partner.
I know you put it up there before, but what is your total portfolio that you're managing?
Yeah, about $3.3 billion.
Okay.
Yeah. In exclusively government investments.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Yeah, next steps, if you choose to move forward, we would have you all engage us through an investment advisory agreement. Again, you can review that, and it's an at-will agreement, just saying that we're establishing a relationship so that we can act on your behalf to go ahead and, you know, purchase investments and have them settle into your account, adding Karen and Amy as signers and having them have, obviously, full access because they're your funds and have that full transparency. And then we would start working on working with Amy to build out a cash flow model and forecast so that our investment strategy mirrors what the goals are for you all as well. And so as things mature, talking to Amy and working with the staff to evaluate what type of investment vehicle would we reinvest to as well. And so as we kind of incrementally move funds over, that would be kind of the incremental process. So.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you all. Yeah,
thanks, Ryan.
I think it sounds like a good idea.
Thank you.
Okay.
You do all that timing.
So, Patty's got a more in-depth proposal if anybody's interested in it.
A bunch of
that would be.
A few copies here that we could have. Okay. So I imagine Tina's probably seen that already. They're in depth.
It's the more in depth proposal from them. Oh. I did
sure.
Make them for everyone. Thanks. So if you'd like to have one,
sure. Oh,
thank you.
Just walked out with Ryan.
Oh. So what are you looking here for, Karen? Would you like?
How did we put it on the agenda? We were hoping for a motion to move forward so that we could start working with them. Given the way that interest rates are moving, we want to capture as much as we can when we can.
Sure.
And I wouldn't see it as an all or nothing. Like, maybe we still got a CD over at Falcon and Bremer and still a couple over in Magic and... As things, you know, we've got quite a bit in Magic Savings right now. That's the kind of stuff that can move over to Ehlers right away because it's not locked up. So, you know, having that as one more tool in the toolbox to capture as much interest revenue as we can, I think is the goal. So just approving the proposal.
Maybe? Approving the proposal now would be.
If you're comfortable with that, we can bring it next time too.
To the next board meeting, or would you? What would this group like? Would you like to do it now, or would you like to have it when we're maybe a little more full board?
I'd vote yes. So, I mean, I just the experience and communication. And I mean, it's just been such a good fit and a good profit, like, you know, for us on an investment on our money, you know. And
have you seen a good uptick in your investment mm-hmm. income?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. An outfit like this has a motivation to make you more money.
Yes.
Right? Mm. I mean, they're not just, I mean.
Not just checking a box.
It's not just somebody, I mean, if you work for Magic, you get paid the same. Right?
Yep.
They're not a commission. So they're not, there's no actual motivation over there. Right? This is more like, I mean, they have motivation to make you money. So they're going to make you money. Unless they screw up. But that's, you know, anybody can do that with anything. But, it makes sense to me.
Okay. Anybody else comments?
I'm comfortable making a move.
And there's certainly still communication going on. Like, mm-hmm. They're really good at the communication with the finance team, you know, director. It's not like it's a closed door. It's very open and transparent and good communication.
So just Tara? So I've asked, who's talked to the Magic Fund and what is their response? Seriously, from a due diligence, very uncomfortable unless we...
done some investigating with them. So,
because I would say, Greg, the flip side is they're 100% focused on the funds. I have two concerns with them. One is clearly the clunkiness, and I guess I'd like to know what are they doing about fixing that. We all have a lot of clunkiness, at least in our counties, and we're stymied on that, but I'd like to know what they're doing about that. Don't have to know it here, but I am curious. And then the other thing is that what, if anything, are they looking at to other tools? That doesn't mean we need to do anything different. It just feels like we're pulling the rug out of them without even having any communication or an opportunity to respond. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I'm going to go with where the group is, but right now I'm not even sure we have an opportunity to look forward to see. We just haven't asked any questions. If there have been questions, then probably be all the way through. Well,
I believe at one point we didn't have a whole lot in the Magic Fund, right?
So the Magic Fund balance would be on the financials?
Yeah.
We do have, it depends, it ebbs and flows. That's where Ryan was referring to cash flow. So on page 6 of the finance is where you'll see on the third line down is our Magic Fund. And right now it's at $2.5 million.
I am literally not trying to be a pain in the neck. It just, after a long period of time, did not have any communication. Like I said, I'm a little uncomfortable. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't go ahead and vote on it. Mm-hmm.
Has the Magic Fund ever come and done a presentation for the board, or do they ever participate with communication?
Sure. Very often? In my experience at Great River, no. But I believe that Great River has been with them since at least 2011, because that's how far my paperwork that I have in the inherited file goes back. I'm sure it could have been even prior to that. When I talk to the Magic Fund, it is through a dedicated advisor, and she monitors our maturity dates, and then she will send me what CDs are offered and at what rates and at different terms, and then those are within our parameters, and then we talk it over and grab the rate that we can grab. So,
and where are they based out of?
They're Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
So, you know, when that communication is happening, like Amy and I have to give them an answer that day. Yeah. Or the rate will change the next day. And that's where there's some pressure with the way that's configured. I think also if you've been here on the board a while, there was an issue with them selling us a CD with the Bank of China out of New York, and there's some feelings about that. So
that was way back when, Bank of San Francisco. And that was, I mean, there was quite a bit of talk about that years back about, you know, why not be more local or whatever, you know, and I guess... From my perspective, Eilers is local.
Right. Yeah, they might be funding your municipal bond project in some city in our six-county area. That's the type of investments they're looking at.
I mean, we tried to go more local, you know, like Bremer and Falcon. And
I think the city of Norwood, Young America, I was the mayor, and we used Eilers. We did for some of our investments.
Okay.
So they are the Minnesota Association of Governments Investing for Counties, and Steve Notch is the chair, just to say it. And, yeah. So it is definitely county-based, and the board is all Minnesotan. So I can't speak to the rest of that. Again, I just was trying to get other information, and I think at least before we say yes to them, I would request one of you at least reach out to maybe Steve.
He's my commissioner, so...
The trustee. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess we
could do that.
Probably owe him that, huh? Okay, so that's where we want to leave it then?
I'm okay with voting on it. I just, like I said,
we could vote on it and have the conversation with Steve. And like I said, it's still we could have a foot in all three camps if we really want to.
Right.
Like, there's money there. You could say just the stuff in Magic Savings is what we're going to play around with because it's not in a CD right now, for example.
Right, it doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Nope.
That's true. Not the way I'm looking at it.
Right, it doesn't have to be all or nothing.
And right now, with everything being unstable, I like having more options because when the bottom fell out during COVID, that savings from Magic went from, you know, the interest rates we're looking at right now to zero within like 6 months. So it'd be great to have a little more stability within our investments.
Diversify and make it easier. Those are all good reasons.
But you're going to have time and staff commitment with that. I just want to say that there is a balance, and I'm not saying to move forward. Like if you jump in with both feet right now, that's fine. It's just the experience so far has been very positive.
And how long has Ray come?
It's been over a year.
It's over a year. Over a year. You were already getting reports from him when we were there a year ago.
Okay. Yep.
So would we want to do an action item? Where are you looking for the board to ask how much that we're looking to, and if we were to move forward, I mean, wouldn't that be kind of relevant? If we are to move forward, maybe we set a dollar limit or something to start with, or a time period. I don't know.
Well,
it seems kind of weird to just vote on it, but then not really talk about how much.
My job is to do your bidding, so okay. If that's the way you want to approach it, then that's the way we will approach it.
He did say that, you know, if you look at the maturity of some of the CDs, and he said he wouldn't move them unless it was cost beneficial that you have to pay the early out. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to look at that. So we definitely wouldn't be 100% tomorrow.
No, I would, even if we paid a fee, that's local investments, I wouldn't want to pull on.
Right. Okay.
This would take some time. And I would say because of the list of bills that you guys approve for us every month, those have supplies and those have costs, and I wouldn't want to have to lose money in the supplies that we've invested in to pay our bills in order to go quickly with a new advisement. So I would take some. I think it's going to take some time.
Yeah, it's a process,
and they understand that as well. Looking at the maturity dates on our CDs, it wouldn't be we have CDs that are maturing in 2027 now. So this is going to take some time if this is the way that we choose to go.
Do we have funds that we could do sooner than that, or no?
There are funds that you could move immediately, yes.
The $2.5
Maybe
million.
Maybe that's a question, at least for you to tell us, because if that's not...
Like, for sure, I would like to move the one that's in Sox Center. Like, we just talked about that one. Like, that one's got to go. They were just too hard to work with. And then maybe the Magic Savings, if they can guarantee a rate higher than what's in that savings account. Because that's not a guaranteed rate. Like, a month from now, that might go down to 3.5, and then
we've lost
an opportunity to capture 4.
The other part that I would mention is that since Amy's been here, I've really put a lot of trust in Amy. She's done a really good job for us over the years.
Thank you. Their fees structure is very similar to what we're paying now. So when he said up to $10,000 annually, that's what we're paying now. So there would be no, it's a neutral move. So
up to $10,000, but I got from it that he probably feels that he can generate more income.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what we're...
Yeah, we wouldn't have brought it here if we didn't think that was true.
And we need to generate more income. We got labor negotiations.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I think even if you would approve it, I'd still probably give Steve Notch a call because now that you've said it's Steve Notch, he might have something to say if I see him at the next fish fry. So.
Okay.
Giving him a little phone call would be worth it. I mean, he was in banking. Amy's got a banking background, too. So it's a different language for sure.
All
I'll make a motion to move ahead with some funds. I don't know how to say it. Like
The proposal.
With Eiler's proposal.
With Eiler's proposal.
With the discretion of Karen and Amy.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And reaching out to
Magic Notch
to have a conversation.
So hopefully you're hearing me actually being consistent, even though it might not sound like it. Do we want to include in the motion the Sauk Center one?
I think that would have expired anyway.
Okay. Well, there is some funds, so just asking. I mean, are we going to give them an amount that they could actually not just come back with a plan, but they could do something with? Or do you want to wait because we'll be around again soon?
How fast do you think you'll move?
Hey, you have a motion.
It really depends on how fast Ryan usually sets things up. I really don't know what to expect.
We have a motion. We need a second on that motion.
Second.
Second it. So we have a motion and a second to Eiler's Public Financial Advisory Proposal with looking at the Magic Fund people and under the discretion of Amy and Karen. Is that okay with everybody? Okay with you people?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Do you want to go to 12-2 right away?
Well, we missed 7.
Yeah. You want to go back?
Yeah, okay. We probably should go back. That stuff won't take as long, I don't think.
Okay.
Minitex resolution thank you letter is on page
29.
Thanks also to the counties. I don't know if you received a similar letter from Minitex for those counties that did pass the resolution, but we wanted to include this formal thank you from the director of Minitex for our support of their organization. 7.2, on Friday, Viking Library System up in Fergus Falls is celebrating their 50th anniversary. Their headquarters is not in a library. They're a standalone building where they do all their delivery. So if you're welcome to go visit, it's a nice little spot. And if you're there, I would also recommend going to see the Fergus Falls Public Library, which is a beautiful building that was renovated with the Library Improvement Grant pre-COVID. It's a very nice facility. Staff report. We okay if we go to that?
Yep.
I wanted to highlight a few things that's not in my report. We submitted proposals to the Minnesota Library Association conference, which will be taking place in St. Cloud. We have 4 proposals that were accepted, representing the organization well. Brianne Fruth is doing a 101 fundraising presentation for library folks. Our Youth Advisory Council was accepted. The Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion team was also accepted. And there's a merchandising and display proposal that was accepted. So we will be a big part of the conference this year. I'm really proud of staff writing good proposals and being willing to share some of the cool stuff we've done here with library land in general. If you have any questions on any of the management reports, was there anything you wanted to share from yours at all since you're here? But
in the Eller's presentation that we just talked about. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Summer reading program's off to a big bang. You'll see some of the photos in there from Kara and 36 and 37. The building reports I wanted to call out, we do have some building issues continuing. Cities are generally pretty responsive, but the two I'm most concerned about right now are Swanville. There's a lot of water in that building. I think they've mostly mitigated it, but it's a flat roof, and I'm not confident that it won't happen again. And then Sauk Center, there's a picture of the window on page 43 that was broken on storm gusts. If you look really close, that's the original Carnegie window. Those windows were not replaced when they did the renovation in 1999. The city has been talking about redoing the windows. We don't have a timeline on that. That's a window that's like up above And it's actually by the staff area. So there's not actual books there, but there's equipment and stuff there. They've put tape over it, is what it says in the report. My first library that I worked at was Doc Center. The library was a newly remodeled library, and my assistant showed me how to stuff cloth in the window to keep it from being warm or cold in the winter after the remodel. So, like, these windows really need to be done at some point. It's an old building. It's a beautiful old building, but 45 is where you'll see the statistics start. We are still seeing some increase in total borrowers, but in quarter one, we were seeing a 4% increase, and it slowed to a 3% increase. If you look at page 46, you'll notice we actually registered fewer new borrowers in quarter two than we did last year. So I don't know if that's a blip. Maybe it's more Saturdays in one year versus another. That happens. But at this pace, we will not reach 100,000 borrowers by the end of the year, and I thought we were on track to do that at the beginning of the year. So just be aware that that's slowing down. Also, on page 49 is the mid-year report on circulation. You'll see physical circulation year over year is down 2%. You'll also notice that the digital library is now circulating more than the St. Cloud Public Library for the first time. We knew this was coming. It is here. Okay. We have several libraries that had increases. Most notable, I think, was Annandale and Big Lake. Not only increased year over year this year, but increased year over last year, too. So those were sustained increases. And Annandale had a huge carpeting project, so maybe it's the carpet. I don't know. But this is where things are as of right now. The next page is 51 and 52. Those look pretty typical. Those are how you've been getting strategic plan reports for the last four or five years. We're doing a new strategic plan. If you want to see something different, please tell your strategic plan committee, steering committee members. We're going to be developing those metrics in August, I think. So things are looking pretty stable. They're just not, there's nothing that really is standing out as, oh my gosh, we're a lot more than last year. Digital library is an increase, but last year we were seeing 20-ish percent increases, and now we're seeing 12-ish percent increases. I believe, personally, that was a direct correlation to the additional investment we put in that library last year with the surplus funds of 2024. So the more you spend, the more people use it. So there's more stuff. That makes sense. 53. We have 3 years of service. Lots of people staying a nice long time. And, you know, we heard earlier our average tenure is 9%. Our 9 years, you can see that in the years of service here. We have a substantial number of people over 10 years. Let's see. Promotions and new hires. What I'll point out is we have a lot of rehires coming back, and that's a good sign. It's really great to see some of the people who've left to do other things come back. A couple of them are summer library aides, but even that, they don't have to come back from one summer to the next, and they choose to. We also promoted 3 staff in the last quarter, or last half of the year, so that's great. And then exit interviews are in there. There's summaries. Nicole does the summary. She's not here tonight, but if you have any questions about anything in that summary, you can reach out to her individually, and she can tell you more. So that's the high points from the management reports and statistics.
Karen, do all people that leave do an exit interview or not?
Everybody gets one. They're not mandatory.
Yeah.
And, like, it says on the bottom of page 59, kind of explains how it works. You can see the number of responses and the number of separations, but depending on if somebody left in December versus January and when they got the exit interview back,
it's never going to be a one-for-one. Okay. And you just get an idea of how many people actually send something back when they leave.
So we can move on to anything under others?
Nope.
Okay, then we'll move on to committee reports. Finance Committee, Tina?
I'm sorry.
Just the report of what we did. And
yeah, no, I'm sorry. Let me just look. I'm just totally was looking at this stuff. So, Amy just does a great job of putting all our reports together, and so. But of course, the big proposal, the budget proposal, was, you know, to move that forward with the counties. I think we all know what's going on in the finance. So, just well done, great communication, and then yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't have anything.
Move for approval. Then.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve that.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Tina, seconded by Greg for the Financial Committee report. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Personnel Committee?
I think you're the unofficial chair, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, gosh. That's right. We did adopt the new policy for the a travel policy that was a travel procedure. So it needed a letter change. And so just basically that, nothing really big, no changes in there, just putting it as a policy versus a procedure. I'll make the motion to approve that.
Second.
And the motion and made and seconded. Lynn seconded, correct? Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Fund development, did they meet? Nope.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
I brought the paper. You probably have. I brought the agenda. I didn't have my notes. Oh, we could pass around our planning, our legacy handout, right? Do you want to try it?
No.
Okay. we had our meeting last Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, we approved planned gift project proposals, one from the Pat Christensen Fund, or the Dan Christensen Gift Fund. That is to support additional books in the juvenile collection at the St. Cloud Library, and then from the Zimmerman Trust in Little Falls to continue the updates in that building. And those were designated for just those particular areas. We talked about a year-end campaign theme and reviewed some of the I Love My Library stories that might be the inspiration for the year-end campaign. And then we talked about planning your legacy, and I've got some brochures here. It's Make a Will Month coming up, and so that's going to be a major emphasis from the Fund Development and Communications area. There's going to be a coordinated, they're trying to get some financial literacy programs in coordination with fundraising as an option for people to learn about that stuff. So I think that was the big stuff, but I can pass. Let's see. Maybe two that way and one this way. This is the planning your legacy handout, and if you know anybody who might be interested in that, a lot of our fundraising this last couple of years have been coming through planned gifts, whether it's Bequest or RMD distributions, so it's definitely where we've seen some growth. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Six, Strategic Plan Committee.
You can go. Thank you. We met last Wednesday, and we just have a really good group of people, and I know as board members we've talked about it. We just really appreciate the staff, that they are always open and, you know, just really good information, and they're really good about telling their thoughts. So we we're getting really close. We have a draft of our vision and our mission and our strategic thinking. So Brian put that together, and it was really nice. So we are moving forward. We meet again already coming up August 6th. So Yeah, I think we will be ready. We're going to present to the board soon, correct?
October is the goal.
Yep. Yep. October 21st. So be ready to be wild.
Central Minnesota Library Exchange Board.
I am chair of that board now. And they're on track. They're working on their audit. I just got a call from their auditors. Things seem to be going fairly smoothly with resource training and solutions. They have a new grant round out there. The website's been redone, and so is the grant form, and there's a new process that should make that work a lot more smoothly. They also have hired a library strategist to do strategic planning, so they'll be entering a strategic planning cycle in this next year.
Number 11, Central Minnesota Library Exchange Board appointee.
So Dorothy Kirsten is a citizen member who was a media specialist from Kimball, and she is interested in being reappointed. Lynn has requested to have her term end, but Terrell.
I just felt like I wasn't particularly effective on that board. So.
That's the board. But. Terrell had suggested she might be interested in being reappointed in her place. Terrell would be a really fantastic fit because if you remember, it's part of resource training and solutions, like that's their fiscal host. Terrell also serves on the resource training and solutions board, and that's a new relationship. So I think that would be a really, it might bring a new perspective to that CMLE board, which would be awesome.
But if, I want this in the minutes, but I don't know if I'll be able to do anything.
Not in the minutes.
But this is a for sure appointee because it's a...
Yeah, we do need... You know, Jane's not here to do the official appointment, so it might be better if the board voted on it just because...
Okay.
I'll make a motion.
Yeah.
Dina makes a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Terrell?
Or Teresa to second.
Teresa. Okay, Teresa. I mean, motion been made and seconded to appoint... I forgot the name already.
Terrell.
Oh,
and Dorothy. And Dorothy. Kirsten. Yep.
That's the one I was looking at.
What's her name?
What's her name? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 11.2 we already taken care of with the closed session. 12.1 we did that with the Eilers. 12.2 Great River Regional Policy Review and Revisions.
So this is security policy.
They look good.
I mostly just tried to make it a little cleaner.
Okay.
It hadn't been updated in a while. But this is part of our... We're almost to the end of all of the policies. We're getting close. So.
Okay.
I can understand it, so it's been simplified.
I confess I used AI for some of it.
Greg made that a motion?
Yeah, I'll make the motion, yes.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
I'll second it. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Great River 2026 budget proposal and discussion. That was in the finance package. They'll be presented to the board. Amy?
This is the first time the whole board has seen it.
We saw it in May.
Nothing has changed. It's a flat budget, a 0.42% overall increase, and the 2026 factor table shows how all of the counties are experiencing an increase this year. And tonight we're seeking approval and the end of the 2026 budget cycle by accepting this budget.
We need a motion.
I'll make the motion.
It's been made.
Second.
By Tina. Seconded by Terrell. I think the finance committee discussed it. I don't know if the rest of the board members want any discussion or are we okay? Otherwise, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Then we have others, the remote attendance.
Oh, first RLBSS amended application. That was on the table. Looks like this. That was the 12.4.
Okay.
We received, there, There was a legislative change to our state funding formula. We received an extra payment of about $40,000 than what was in the application, which is less than 10%, but we have been told that we still need to report on that $40,000 because of the way it was administered on the state side. I don't know. Amy, would you add anything to that?
I feel like this is an exercise in making sure that the legislative changes are all being accounted for, and because it is increased funding that was spread across the state, that they probably want every library to account for that difference. This doesn't affect the financials or anything because it was taken care of in the audit this year. It was accounted for. So it's money that we received late, and it's money that was spent late, and so now this amended report is the end of the lates, I guess, is how we are looking at it.
And we got it.
It's
late.
A way to make them whole.
We got it too late to put it in the packet.
Yes.
So.
Got it.
So just asking for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Laura makes the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Tim. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now we go to the remote.
So it was discussed at the Finance Committee meeting that we might need to revisit the idea of remote attendance. Patty and I attended a data practices update webinar that talked about the legislative changes. Some of you at the counties have probably already seen this. The law has changed so that we no longer have to advertise the location of a board member's remote attendance. So if somebody's attending in Elk River, we don't have to know before the meeting notice goes out that that person's in Elk River and list that address. So we have more options than we used to. That was a hang up. We still would have to make sure everybody is seen and heard if they are attending remotely. There would still need to be a roll call vote. And there still needs to be at least one person on site at the regular location for the meeting. But if the board wants to explore remote attendance, we probably wouldn't want to do it in this room. We'd probably have to move over to Bremer if we were going to do that. Otherwise, you end up on the big screen, and we try to get the owls to do a thing and the lights. So we can do it. If we want to do that, it might make attendance easier for some board members, because I know particularly for those of you who are, like, the only person from your county and you're called to be in two places at once, that's been a challenge quite a bit the last year or so. So if you don't want to do it, that's fine. I just wanted to put it out there, especially since it came up in finance today.
Does that cause a problem with securing locations for meetings? If you have this one set aside, but then you're going to move to...
We would still do it over in Bremer, so we would have to make sure that goes on the meeting notice. Like, we would just move this whole thing into the smaller room because it's got a screen over there. I think if there is a closed session or something like that, we might not be able to offer remote attendance on something like, you know, something that's a little that's more confidential.
Closed sessions, unless it's been changed. If you're remote attending, you don't go to those.
Yeah.
I just did that.
Okay. So... If we have too many remote attendees, we might not be able to close a meeting if the remote attendees can't attend. So, you know, it creates new logistical issues, but maybe that's okay. I don't know.
Yeah, and there's not a limit to how many you can do now either in terms of remote.
No.
So I happen to be a big fan of it. I mean, I like to attend the majority of meetings in person. Mm-hmm. But it really works out for, I mean, a whole variety of purposes. I mean, weather, I mean, if depending upon how far you're driving, you know, in the wintertime, could be a whole lot safer. I mean, this is a pretty important board, but we shouldn't risk our life for it necessarily. So, I think it's a good idea to do it. It's just so much easier than it used to be. I mean, I had to get a library spot in Texas, in a town in Texas to do one of our meetings, and it was an exorbitant. It was just a crazy hassle. Great library, you know, massive library, but you know, It's a really good thing for a lot of people, depending upon how far you have to go.
And it allows the flexibility with timing, like you said, if you're mm-hmm. you're at a meeting, but then you'd have to drive here for 45 minutes, you know, it's just mm-hmm. versus being able to click on. And I prefer people. I like being with people and coming to the meetings, but mm-hmm. just sometimes it's that little bit having the flexibility that if you need to, mm-hmm. then it's available.
Yeah, for when days get really busy or the weather's bad or.
Now, we haven't talked about it at our board level yet, but at other committees, we've used it a lot that I'm on already.
Do you think you'd use it, Tim?
Oh, I'm sure there'd be
opportunity.
Times, for sure.
Because your distance is quite drastic.
It's a haul, but I like coming down here. I agree with Tina. I like being in person, getting more out of it. But if it's, Karen makes me drive down in a snowstorm every winter, that's fine.
You get a truck, right?
Yeah. I enjoy it. I think it'd be beneficial.
Okay. Terrell, you had a comment?
Yeah, I was just thinking there are a number of different joint powers where people try to be there in person, but some staff and or board members are remote, or then there's the Council on Aging where pretty much everybody is remote all the time, and I agree. I mean, we've seen for some people it goes up. I mean, if I can be, I mean, honestly, I would use it is because I will have to be in a totally different place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is we'd like to have it an option.
My juvenile center committee is almost everybody's remote. We only meet in person once a year. Because there's so many counties involved in the juvenile center.
We can look at it for future meetings.
Okay.
Sure.
Maybe take a peek at Brummer and just see what we're talking about. I mean, we can do it in here. We've done it in here, but whoever's retending is right there. And so you're larger than life.
And life size.
We had to redo a picture with our new service dog because I was on the big screen behind the rest of the board took the picture, and it was not pretty. So we had
do you allow it at your board level?
Huh?
Do you allow it at your board level?
Oh, absolutely. Huh? Yeah, we do it. I mean, I did one this year. I mean, the only person who hasn't done one by remote on the board last year was Gary. Hmm. Gary doesn't leave town very often, but the rest of us have all gone remote.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the last time we had a discussion was more like,
look into it.
Look into it.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yep.
And what we might end up doing is, you know, if there's a closed session, having to do like two quorum calls. Are you coming? Are you coming in person or something like that?
I'm on the board that we do that. You just reply. But we don't offer it like our annual meeting. You know, we don't offer it on certain meetings.
Mm.
You know, maybe not their annual meeting or things like that. But that's still in person. But yes, they do ask if you would be attending in virtual or in person.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and like I say, this one does offer that weather-dependent thing where, you know, you can people don't have if it comes to that last minute, you can still have your meeting, which I think is really nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Board open forum. Anything? Don't look like it. Next meeting, August 19th, work session.
Yeah, let's keep it on the calendar.
Keep it on?
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, the next Board of Trustees is September 16th.
Yeah. We might need it.
A bad day?
I don't know. You want chop corn? Let's chop corn.
Okay.
It's going to go long anyway.
Let's be remote.
It's all wet. Yeah, you can do it from the tractor as long as we can see you.
Anything else come before the board? Hearing none, we're adjourned at 7:59.